Good morning. It's Bathrobes, Pierre Roberts, Broadsides. It's June 5th, 1995. It's Monday. God help us. Or the goddess help us. Or somebody help us. So anyway, here we are on the air and without our tapes as usual, so you're going to have to deal with Skidmark's rap music as our intro. And unfortunately, I would like to say we have no Carol Denny Jolly Rogers theater troupe from Berkeley today because I was running around like a lunatic. It was kind of an active weekend, as you know from probably from the newspaper this morning and from Skidmark's memorial comments. Linda the Lark Edwards, my colleague of long standing here in Santa Cruz, a homeless activist among homeless activists, died of liver cancer on Saturday at 4 o'clock. After fighting for a year to be alive, she did most of the struggle without any kind of government assistance. Toward the end, she was in such pain that she did break down and got morphine and got still installed into a kind of a home. But she really was an independent woman. She wanted to do it herself. She wanted to live herself. And she ended up, she didn't die by herself, but she kept her own counsel, kept her own perspective on things, kept her own distance, particularly in the last months of her life. She was ever apologetic about not getting back to people by phone who she was told were trying to reach her. And she wanted me to tell every one of them and every one of you that she would have loved to talk to you, and it was nothing that she could really control. She was in such exhaustion and pain throughout the last few months of her life that she really had trouble having a good day at all. Most of her time she was just lie around, and death in those circumstances, what do you say, can be a mercy. I don't like that phrase, but I mean, I haven't been in the situation Linda was in, so I don't know. Anyway, over the weekend, we had a memorial to Linda Edwards. Spearheaded by Linda, Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, second Linda of Santa Cruz, now the first. She's not the first. She's the living Linda at the moment. The other Linda lives in spirit. A memorial at the town clock. Linda Edwards frequently would do sleepouts at the town clock with us to dramatize the stupidity, harshness, misuse of public resources, inefficiency, downright bigotry involved in the city's sleeping ban, which, as I'm sure you all, many of you may know, makes it illegal to sleep in Santa Cruz or cover up with blankets after 11 o'clock at night. The town clock was the site in 1988, 1989, 1990, and 1991 of frequent overnight sleep-out protests, which police would break up and arrest and ticket and Parks and Rec and Jim Lang's, Lebensraum Lang, as I called him, of the head of the Parks and Rec Department, would come in and find some trivial thing to ticket someone for and harass them for and take away their property and so forth. And even though wanton Dave Jacobs, kind of the protest master at the town clock after 1991, when many of the mass protests kind of faded, even though he successfully resisted in court all 15, I guess now 16 misdemeanor prosecutions against him, fundamentally for protests, sitting on the sidewalk, sitting at the town clock, the Parks and Rec Department has been able to essentially turn away protests from the clock in terms of overnight protests. There hasn't been much overnight protest at the clock in the last 2 or 3 years. And so Linda LeMaster, the afternoon Linda Edwards died, decided to, in honor of Linda, start up that tradition again. And she went to the town clock and just set up roses and flowers and placards. And I wrote up a flyer, which you may have seen. If you haven't, I'm going to read it to you on the air. And I'm hopefully going to put it out on email, if I can find a way to do that. I keep screwing up my email transmissions, but So anyway, Linda LeMaster and about 15 or 20 other people gathered at the town clock on Saturday night, and then about six of us slept overnight there to remember Linda Edwards. And I'll tell you, it's not comfortable at the town clock, even in June when the weather is relatively mild. But Linda and many others would sleep there in January to acquaint the town with the practices of their police department and the policies of their city council, which I would have to say continue to this day in spite of some amelioration. While it's true there we have an open air shelter, I can say they have an open air shelter that they let us in with elaborate rules and regulations and treating the homeless like children frequently. The shelter is completely inadequate for the overwhelming majority of people. I mean, it'll handle 100, 150 people, and there are over 700 homeless people in the city limits, as many as 1,500. So, the problem continues. The problem of harassment continues. In the last 3 weeks, I've received reports of tickets in the Poganip for people who are just trying to sleep, not littering, not urinating, not screaming and ranting and raving. Just trying to sleep, not to claim and squat on property and remove it from the public use, no, to put it to public use. And still, because they're poor, because they're transient, because they're not spending money in a hotel, they're harassed by Jim Lang's Parks and Rec Rangers, who are sort of in a way taking a more high-profile role in the Santa Cruz Police Department around camping ban violations. So as you see, I kind of spill around here, but getting back to Linda Edwards, there was a memorial to her at the town clock on Saturday night. The police did not harass this memorial, which we found rather, well, I didn't find it too surprising. I didn't think the police wanted to get into a public brouhaha, but in a way, Linda might have savored Linda Edwards because she was constantly more concerned with bringing these issues forward than engaging in conventional reassurances such as a memorial would be. And a fitting memorial to Linda would have been a protest, and was a protest, and we did our protest sleep out. The memorial was left there throughout Sunday, and we brought some of the information to the Gay Pride Day and gave it out there. And then we found that apparently the entire thing was destroyed, removed, and trashed by presumably the Parks and Rec Department, since it was done with such thoroughness, who apparently have the habit of stealing homeless properties still. And now in Berkeley, I'm told by activist Cornerstone Carol Denny, people were able to get in place a tagging law. And I don't mean a graffiti law. I mean a law that requires police departments and Parks and Rec Departments to tag or mark for at least 24 hours a property that they pick up and claim is abandoned, because it was the practice of the University of California at Berkeley Police and the Berkeley Police Department to simply seize and destroy homeless property with the specific intention of driving homeless people away so as to make the area more friendly to those who don't like homeless people. It's kind of like restricting blacks from the downtown to reassure the bigots. I mean, it's sort of a similar kind of thing. We're dealing with human beings here and basic human rights. Well, here in Santa Cruz, we don't have a tagging law yet that I'm aware of, though I haven't investigated this, but we should have. So the stuff that is left in a certain place, if it's confiscated by any agency, it should be still available for pickup. And who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Parks and Rec does have the stuff just waiting for us to pick up. And whatever the situation, whether they do or whether they don't, Linda LeMaster, whom I call Lighthouse Linda, for her activist work over the years on behalf of homeless people and her continuing activist work, announces that we are going to have a rededication of the Linda Edwards Memorial tonight at 8:15 at the town clock. So anyone who's interested, wander on down to the town clock at 8:15 tonight, and we're going to start the memorial again for Linda Edwards. Because Linda Edwards' job is not done. And apropos of that, I'll read you the flyer that I wrote for Linda on Saturday. This sleeping ban protest in memory of Linda Edwards, the Lark of Santa Cruz. Linda died today of liver cancer after a year's struggle. The doctors gave her 6 months, She took 6 more. She lived for a decade here, fiercely independent. She fought the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban. She fought poverty pimps, politicians, and bureaucrats. She will not be forgotten. City Ordinance 6.36 makes criminals out of the city's homeless people. 3/4 of them become criminals after 11 p.m. at night. Sleeping in your car or outside is still a crime. Remember Linda Edwards. Carry on Linda's fight. Flyer by Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423 Huff, June 3rd, 1995. So that's the flyer I distributed. And I actually wrote a more extended version about Linda and about that flyer for folks on the net, the internet, who might be kind of interested in Linda, but not to know too much about her, Linda Edwards. And I'm going to read that to you, too, although I'm hoping I can get out a much more extensive chronology of Linda Edwards' work. I'm not sure if I will, and if anybody is interested in this project, I encourage them to give me a call at 423-4833 or 423-HUFF, my phone number. Also, and I'll say this before we go any further, if you're interested in anything I am saying here, or if you want to comment on anything from past shows, please give me a call here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, and the phone number is 427-3772, or if you don't like numbers, 427-Free Radio Santa Cruz, FRSC. That's 427-3772. If you want to give a call to Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides, I'm Bathrobe Spear Robert. I'm your host for the next 2 hours. Every Monday and Friday, I do this talk show, and you're invited to join me either at your radio or on the air, or if you want to help in other ways, you can call me after the show at 423-HUFF, which is my phone number, and the phone number of Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. But continuing with Linda Edwards, I wrote this about her after the memorial, and attempted to get out on email today without success, and will again try to get it out. On Monday, June 5th, the Santa Cruz Sentinel published a front-page obituary on Linda. That was today. Linda helped found the Coalition to End the Camping Ban, Bag Ladies Revolt, and Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom in Santa Cruz. She frequently went to San Francisco and Berkeley to support Food Not Bombs and Defenders of People's Park, and was repeatedly arrested there in protests that were angry but peaceful, trying to reclaim and retain space for homeless people in public areas. The whole People's Park brouhaha, as I've been saying for months, isn't part of the University of California's attempt to remove the entire homeless community from the south side, from the campus area, as they've been really trying to do for 3 decades, since the 60s. They wanted to remove the hippies, bohemians, activists, and low-income students. That's why they tore down the apartment buildings that were on People's Park, or the co-op housing initially. Continuing with the Linda Edwards obituary or memoriam that I wrote, simply a description and summary of her work. Linda was on the scene fighting Operation Rescue's attacks on the right to choose, yet she was arrested for defending the rights of all groups to protest peacefully when San Jose Mayor Susan Hammer had Linda dragged away for trying to speak to a city council meeting, where Hammer was pushing through a law criminalizing protests within 300 feet of an abortion clinic or doctor's house. The last thing Linda supported was the government invasion of the womb and the theological oversight so that you no longer have the right to choose if you're a woman. But she felt that by restricting the right of people of those hateful views or mistaken views to protest, it was restricting all our rights. And more about that later in the program. The Supreme Court decided to let stand a very bad lower court decision about a week ago, which allows police and city authorities to quash protests of any kind, not just abortion, anti-abortion protests or anti-choice protests. Yeah, Linda was arrested at this meeting in San Jose. In fact, they were going to put that picture in the paper of her being dragged away from the mic. And what was she arrested for? Was she arrested for throwing bricks at the mayor? Was she arrested for bomb threats? Was she arrested for assaulting three police officers? No. The mayor had promised that everyone would have 2 minutes at the mic. Then the mayor decided that she wouldn't allow Linda 2 minutes, just 1 minute. Excuse me. So Linda took her extra minute anyway, and when she did, she was grabbed by the San Jose Police Department, thrown into a van in 110-degree heat inside the van, where she literally fainted, handcuffed so tightly that the marks remained for weeks afterward, taken to jail. And, of course, they never pursued the charges because it was obviously a free speech issue and the mayor was engaging in false arrest. But the mayor of San Jose has done that to other homeless activists, too, from the San Jose Student Homeless Alliance. I was arrested up there myself 3 years ago for supporting a tent city that San Jose homeless people were doing in order to protest cutbacks and specifically the law that makes it illegal to sleep outside there, which is actually more moderate than Santa Cruz's law. But Linda stood up for the rights of all, and so she was dragged away. Linda Edwards was the first person arrested in Santa Cruz for serving free food in 1988 outside City Hall. For months, and what was the most sustained and massive homeless protest in Santa Cruz since the mid-80s, we had been bringing people to city council and having a free meal every 2 weeks, a Tuesday city council meeting in the evening. And we were bringing homeless people to ask city council to reconsider its sleeping ban policies. Actually, its refusal to even discuss the sleeping ban. We asked that they put it on the agenda and set it up for public debate, and they refused. This was under Mayor John Laird when there was a progressive majority on the council in 1988. Including Mike Rotkin, who continues to oppose the right of people to sleep legally in Santa Cruz, except at the one campground, but since that excludes three-quarters of the people, it means, as far as he's concerned, it's fine for people to be arrested who are in that larger group. Hide out or get out. Anyway, Linda joined those protests. Actually, that's when I first met her. It was in the summer of 1988 when she came to me and told me that the deputies had been harassing her and her companion, Doug, for living in their van, even though they had the permission of people who owned the property somewhere out near Aptos. And I went out there and did some investigating, and indeed they were harassing her, and we tried a campaign reminding Al Noren that there was a so-called roadside resting law passed by Gary Patton in the county, which makes the county a more liberal place for the homeless than the city of Santa Cruz, kind of a strange thing, but true, legally. In the county, it is legal to rest by the roadside. In an amendment which then-Supervisor Gary Patton was able to pass in the mid-80s. And it is also not an offense to camp in most areas of the county. There are three or four zones where it is illegal to camp. But generally, it is not illegal to camp in the county. Usually what the deputies do is they lie to you, and they tell you it is, or they tell you you're trespassing, or they don't tell you anything, and they just tell you to move on. Well, they were harassing Linda Edwards and Doug, in the summer of 1988, and she came to us, the coalition and the camping ban, and we said, well, we'll do what we can. Mainly, we're working in the city, and we'll publicize it. We tried to get reports from different people showing how the cops were ticketing people in hippie vans, but they weren't ticketing the big rigs that were doing exactly the same thing. And, of course, the liberal hypocrites on the city council, Rotkin, Wormhout, Laird, Weed, Jane Weed at that time, too, were not interested. They regarded it as too hot an issue. Or as Mike Rotkin said a week ago on his talk show, the community television station. He feels that if he ever tried to change the sleeping ban, which he still favors that we keep, that he would be recalled. I think he should be recalled anyway. I called for his recall 2 years ago when he supported arresting people for serving free food, and when the city attorney was told to go after an injunction on Food Not Bombs in 1993, and did, and then it kind of stalled in court. The city kind of thought better of it. They realized they didn't want another big food fight on their hands, such as Mayor Wormhout in 1988 had initiated and had waged war for a year. All this is apropos Linda Edwards and her involvement in this battle for basic rights, high-profile battle to bring before the public the abusiveness of official behavior regarding homeless people. Very important. And there were many who disagreed with our tactics along the way and said, you know, you catch more flies with honey and be diplomatic and negotiate with these people. They are progressives after all. I mean, you'll just get the worst group, the conservatives, if you don't negotiate with the progressives. And indeed, we did try to negotiate with the progressives and continue to try to negotiate with the progressives. But usually the old rule that power concedes nothing without a demand has been the ruling dictum here. I mean, Terry Messman in Oakland, and with his Union of the Homeless, he's the head of the Union of the Homeless in Oakland, or he was, I think it's now called Dignity Housing West, has been a split. But the Union of the Homeless in the mid-80s seized numerous pieces of property worth millions of dollars, and they had that property eventually turned over to them, and it is now operated by previously homeless people for the benefit of homeless people and for families. They got people into housing, and they didn't do it by, you know, negotiating with the diplomats and with the politicians. What they did do was they broke down the doors of these abandoned properties and they occupied them. Now, they did negotiate after that, and they got what they wanted, and I only hope that sometime in Santa Cruz, Homes Not Jails revives, squattering movements revive in a more public way, because there are dozens of abandoned buildings in Santa Cruz, I'm told, that could use the same kind of treatment. I mean, we have Louis Rittenhouse's empty spaces downtown, marring the entire city, that should be used for real needs, not simply for private profit. Anyway, but I'm going to skip back to 1988 and Linda Edwards and how she was the first woman, the first person in Santa Cruz arrested for serving free food. Not something that she went out of her way to do, by the way. All she did was she did what she had always done. Every Tuesday, we all got together a meal. Jane Imler would cook some of her Calamity Jane soup, and Brian Koepke would be involved in the Coalition to End the Camping Ban. He would be organizing out there and writing a speech or getting a speech together to tell the city council, and a whole series of people would be preparing to talk to city council, and we'd feed people out front, give them a cup of soup and a little something else that was possible. Sometimes, I believe, India Joe's became involved in Joe Schultz specifically. The restaurant itself was ambivalent, but Joe was not ambivalent at all and gave free food to homeless people and commended us for our activism. And he actually went to jail himself the next year for serving free food. Many people went to jail for serving free food here in Santa Cruz. Anyway, Linda Edwards was present on December 13th. It was a kind of a hot moment because in November of that year, at the Thanksgiving Day parade, or I guess it was called, it was a Christmas parade that actually took place at Thanksgiving, Marty Wormhout, the mayor, had been embarrassed when her antique car broke down, and at the end of her parade, Bag Ladies Revolt, headed by Linda Edwards, Jane Imler, and Linda LeMaster, and Shannon Cosamo, and me at that time, were handing out flyers mocking the mayor's pomp and circumstance and demanding that something be done about violence against homeless people, which was increasing at that time. We had cops like Officer Joe Clark, who now heads the Police Officers Association, and who at one time threatened to sue me for an allegation in the street shit sheet that he had drawn his gun on a skateboarder. That was the report I received from two people. And I offered him a space in the street shit sheet to refute that, and he never took that space, and he never sued me. I invite him to sue me now if he wishes. Other officers were accused of kicking homeless people. It was a very nasty time, and not that that doesn't still happen, but it was particularly happening at that time. So Jane Imler, Linda Edwards, and Linda LeMaster formed the Bag Ladies Revolt as a sort of a comic but serious gesture at the same time to dramatically draw attention to the city's refusal to deal with basic homeless issues of abuse in the police department and the need to reform the sleeping ban. And there was also the point that there was no hot meal at night. Jane and Linda, the Lindas, were not demanding that specifically, but what Jane and Linda decided to do after this parade, at which the mayor was embarrassed by all these bag ladies kind of rolling their shopping carts at the rear of the parade, was they started Bag Ladies Revolt started a vigil at the town clock. Again, the town clock, central point, focus point for homeless organizing in the last decade here in Santa Cruz. And Jane Immler announced she would be giving out hot soup at the town clock. Well, immediately after she did that, Jim Lang arrived, and he was then in his capacity as assistant manager to the city, because I think the manager was out of town or some such thing. He was an executive official. He announced that they were going to arrest people if they started serving food at the clock. And we proceeded to feed anyway. And then a deal was negotiated whereby the city would set up a month of meals out at the River Street shelter. At that time, there was no free meal. There was no 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock meal, which is now led by Karen Gillette. There was no such meal. Gillette was not involved in that time. The Gillette meal eventually came from Calamity Jane, when the city gave a meal to the homeless because they wanted the homeless out of their hair. That was, the wheel that has the squeak gets the grease. It's the old story. But anyway, Linda Edwards was involved in this Bag Ladies Revolt protest at the town clock, which is essentially a protest against troll busting, where people were being given a cup of hot soup in the evening, or actually the late afternoon. And Mayor Wormhout was determined to close that down. She wanted nothing of that to happen in her time, particularly around the Christmas season, where the merchants would be scandalized. It would ruin all the business to have people receiving food at the town clock, and it would expose the newly elected progressives as a bunch of, dare we say, hypocrites? I suppose that's what we'd have to say. So, to get rid of them for the month of December, she and others engineered the December dinners, as I call them, which were dinners which were given for a month out at the River Street shelter. And Jane Immler and I and Linda Edwards agreed not to serve at the town clock during that period of time. However, we continued to serve our meals at City Hall once every 2 weeks when City Hall had its meeting, and we made no agreement on that. But apparently the mayor and the police and the health department, who were called in as shills in this matter, the health department never had any genuine concerns about any of us in terms of any complaints of sickness or unsanitary cooking conditions. None of that was ever alleged. All that was alleged in the whole brouhaha around free food in Santa Cruz was that SWAP, which was the name that later came to be the group that served food for 8 months illegally in 1988 and 89, Soup Without a Permit, SWAP, Soup Without a Permit, that we had no certified kitchen. And a certified kitchen, you may not know, is a restaurant kitchen. It has to have 3 drains. It has to have special kind of heating. It's specifically designed in a profit-making or even a non-profit institution where there is huge numbers of people being served. And we never really fed more than 150 or 200 people in any meal, and usually it was around 40 to 70 people on average. And it was food cooked in people's kitchens. It was like a picnic. We did it every day, once a day, starting in January of 1989 and going until the city legalized and set up and funded Calamity Jane's Cupboard, which then became the free meal out at the River Street shelter. And that happened in September of 1989. But from January to September, we fed illegally and we fed at the town clock. There was still before this compromise called the December dinners. This was when the city, as I was saying, in order to get us away from the town clock during Christmas, agreed to establish a meal out at the River Street shelter. And we left the town clock. We said that was fine. But we continued to do our protests at city council twice a month, city council meets on alternate Tuesdays, second and fourth Tuesdays of every month, usually. But on December 13th, the city, for the first time, decided that they weren't going to allow that. And they came in with a health department official. They came in with Sergeant St. Ange and other police officers. And they told us to take that bucket of soup and get it away from the people who were trying to eat it. And we didn't. And Linda Edwards picked up the ladle and started serving people, and they grabbed her and hauled her off. And a woman named No Guns protested against this action, and she was hauled off, and her son was hauled off in these chokeholds that were quite hideous to see, and they showed up on the front page of the Watsonville